Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for the gift of your word. Would you bring it alive, not only to our ears, but to our heart, to our soul, and to our lives? Jesus, would you teach us? Would you open our hearts to you, that you may come alive in this room, in your church, in our hearts, and in the world? Spirit, help us, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning's reading is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Whenever I say 1 Thessalonians, it's like a tongue twister, and so I'm glad I sort of got it out there for you. So it's page 1204 in the Pew Bible, and it's verses 8 through 11. So for those who would like to read, let's read together. And for those who would like to listen, let's listen together. And for all of us, let's hear what the Spirit is saying to us and to the church. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So we're in this series and of healing, about healing. And today it's about building each other up. And so you notice in this reading that Paul says this is exactly what you're doing. You're building each other up. We wouldn't be here unless there were in some way that we were being built up. Because God brought us here. And so when it comes to building each other up, the Bible is pretty clear that the builder is who? Is God. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. Jesus says to Peter, one of the leaders or the apostles of the church, he says, Peter, you are a rock, Petros, a rock, and upon you I will build my church. So Jesus saying, I will build my church, and you will be a rock upon which I build the church. So God does the building. But what do we do? What is our role when it comes to building each other up? And first is to hear Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, saying, you're already doing this. You're building each other up. And so I want us to hear loud and clear that we're doing it. We're doing it. We're building each other up day by day. And we're building each other up as we sit here now, not just listening to God's word, but gathered around saying we are a community. And communities, at least the communities of God, build each other up. Now, the opposite of building each other up is tearing each other down or apart, tearing each other apart. So I thought what I'd do is reflect on this, on these two different things, tearing each other apart and building each other up, as a way of reminding ourselves of who we are Paul says, we're the people of the day. We're not the people of the night. We're the people of the day. We're the people who are building each other up rather than tearing each other apart. And so to reflect on these, tearing each other apart and building each other up, would be a way to remind ourselves of who we are and of what it looks like to build each other up, and even what it looks like to tear each other apart. And knowing the difference between the two and what it looks like, making a choice in how we're going to live, not just in our own lives, but as a church. All right? Does that make sense? So I want to share with you a parable of this dynamic, okay? So imagine, if you will, that imagine a banquet hall. Let's imagine our fellowship hall, okay? This is the banquet hall, and it has every kind of food imaginable. I'll tell you what, erase that. Imagine Karen and Larry's yard, okay? And there's every kind of food imaginable. There's watermelon, there's potato salad, there's hot dogs or hamburgers, and there's your favorite food. There's ice cream, there are popsicles, there's all of the condiments that you want for what you're going to have. And it's all there. Okay, so this is a feast. And at this picnic or feast, there's everyone that you've ever met in your life that you've impacted for good and for bad. And they're all there, and you're with them on the lawn. Now, there's one catch to this, and that is that Larry and Karen are not providing plastic utensils, you know, little picnic ones. Instead, what we have are 6-foot-long forks, okay, and 6-foot-long spoons, all right? And everyone sitting around going hungry because the spoons and the forks are too long and unwieldy to manage our plate of potato salad, hot dog, you know, whatever it is that's our favorite food. And we're all sitting there withering away, looking at each other forlornly. And we're dying and withering away. Now, let's go to a second scene. The same yard, the same picnic, the same banquet, the same foods, condiments, and the same utensils, the forks and the spoons, they're 6 foot long. But now, every person at the picnic is serving someone else with the 6 foot long spoon or fork. Whoever's 6 feet away, they're serving. And everyone is fed and nourished and built up, and everyone is laughing with great hilarity and joy, and everyone is feeling fed, nourished, and built up by each other. We're having a great time. Tearing apart and building up. Let me give you a second little picture. So let's take Katie. Katie has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And two of her friends write a note to her. Her first friend is Gerald. And Gerald uses these words in his note to Katie. Do you hear from Gerald's words a building up or tearing down? You be the judge. Wow, Katie, that's too bad. You just have to do the best you can with the hand you're dealt. I had a friend who had breast cancer several years ago. She died last year. It seems like lots of people I know have had to deal with breast cancer and have really struggled. What a shame. I wish you the best, your friend, Gerald. You be the judge. All right, so Katie has another friend, Mary. All right, she sent these words. And this is an actual letter that someone sent her friend. Names have been changed, okay? Fear is truly a bully. This is Mary now writing her note. Fear is truly a bully. But I have confidence, Katie, that you will prevail. I love you, and I know God loves you. And I know his love faithfully casts out all fear. Compared to what you have conquered, this is a piece of cake. His grace will embrace you and carry you through those times you can't walk. Cancer does not have you. It is only passing through. So chill a bit, take some deep breaths, and enjoy the richness of the awesome days ahead. Your life will never be the same as you embrace each day with even more gusto. And your heart will dance a new dance of hope as the good Lord guides and directs you into victory. You be the judge, tearing down or building up. Now, there may be something going on in your life where you have a need. You need this companionship, this true friendship. You need someone who not only knows you well, but who knows the deepest hope that we have in our risen Lord. You see, the deepest hope we have is that that we have this sense of hope, our deepest sense of brokenness. We're more broken than we ever dared believe, but we're more loved than we ever dared hope. And this is the hope that you have in this friend. And so whatever it is you face, you want a friend who not only knows you, but knows this hope. And not only knows this hope, but is going to be honest with you about whatever it is you face. They're going to tell you the good, bad, and the ugly. And they're going to build you up. Now, so in whatever you do, ask yourself, is what I'm going to say, is it going to tear somebody apart? Or is it going to build them up? Or what I'm going to write, is it going to tear them apart or build them up? And we've seen it in the city hall. We've seen it on the streets. We see it in our homes. And we see it even in our church. There's tearing apart and there's building up. But our good Lord knows that you are shaped to be his and to be built up. Let me share with you another picture. This is from the Cherokee Indians. And the Cherokee Indian grandfather said to his grandson, said there are two kinds of wolves inside every person. There's a wolf that is evil, that not only feels anger, but behaves and acts out on the anger in a way that tears down others. This wolf has within it this jealousy and acts out on the jealousy that tears apart others. This is the wolf that says, "This is my baby," and slaps a hand of anyone else who would touch their ministry or their world. This is the wolf that fears others, that sees others as horrendous, even evil, instead of someone that we sit shoulder to shoulder to, looking at the cross, at the victory of Christ in our lives, his church, and the world. And the second wolf is the wolf of God. This is the wolf of love. Not just a wolf that says love, but that does love. That no matter the circumstances, it relies on God's love and not our own, so that our tank never runs dry, but always has a reserve of love. Always has a reserve of love, no matter how difficult the situation, to build each other up. And this wolf is a wolf of kindness. That even though someone may be someone we don't like, because of this reserve of love that we draw from our risen Lord, that we can express acts of kindness and care with someone we don't like, or is even an enemy. So the son, grandson says, so which wolf wins the battle? And the grandfather says, my grandson, it's the one you feed. It's the one you feed. Tear down or build up. Whether it's someone in church, a friend in your home, a family member, or it's out in city politics or wherever it is, which will you feed?